Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, with sorrow we announce the passing away of Mr. Peter de Kock on Monday, May the 7th, at the age of 95 years. Mr. Henry Van Sluis has also lost a brother, John, on Friday at the age of 64 years. Let us sing from Psalter 107, stanzas 1 through 4. My end, Lord, make me know. My days, how soon they fail, and to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail. 1 through 4 of Psalter 107. Thank you.
Congregation, this morning we wish to read from the book of Revelation, the first chapter. But before that, the Ten Commandments as they can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelations 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his sight, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, long-suffering, and sovereign God, Thou who dost speak, and it is so, and all cometh to pass, and Thou hast also spoken in the week that is gone behind us, in the midst of a family and of several families, and also in the midst of us as a congregation. It is a word out of Thy holy word that Thou hast spoken already so long ago, that in the day that Thou eatest thereof, Thou shalt surely die. And Thy providence does show that Thou art he that livest, and that Thou dost fulfill every single word that Thou hast spoken. There is not a jot, there is not a tittle, that shall not be fulfilled according to Thy holy will and to Thy counsel. And so a man goeth unto his long home, and the mourners, they go about the streets. Wilt Thou remember them in our midst, when the calling has come unto them in a very personal way, Lord, that Thou Thyself may be near to them in this time, and that Thou may bless and sanctify these ways. For when we must miss one another, and we may feel something of the vanity of the emptiness of life here below, then do give that longing that we may receive that fulfillment of our original purpose, the purpose for which Thou hast created us, that we may live in that blessed communion with Thee. Do give a missing of Thee, and not only a missing of one another. We cannot be united anymore with one another, except it be that our hearts would be united, For we shall join one another on that last day at thy judgment seat. We shall join one another in our eternal place. Then it shall not be as father or mother, as brother or sister, as husband or wife anymore. But then it shall be as individual souls before thee, who have been created by thee for thy glory, and who will either forever suffer for our own sin, or who will rejoice in the merits of thy dear and thy only begotten Son. Do bind this matter upon the heart of each and every one of us. Thou knowest how cold, thou knowest how hard, thou knowest how dead that we are in and of ourselves. Then we need to be quickened by thy Spirit, both for the first time, but also by renewal, to give thy word a place in our hearts, O Lord. Take reasons out of thyself. We may read it in thy holy word. Thou sayest, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, I am the ending, I am the first, I am the last. O Lord, thy times, they are forever. Wilt thou give that thou who endurest, and may also give to us that eternal life, that we may seek it in the days wherein that it is proclaimed unto us, and days wherein thou walkest in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, there with thy servants in thy right hand, and then to do the labors in the midst of thy church. O Lord, we beseech thee that it may be also in this day, when we are together in thy house, in this very morning hour, when thy word is to go forth, if thou wilt give it, wilt thou give thy Spirit to be in a feeling and in a believing way in the midst of us. O come to touch our hearts, and to grant us life from the dead, grant us life also by renewal, for the deadness that is in the heart of thy children is enough to make them fear that there was never any life. Thou art able to renew it, O Lord. Thou art able to bring back from the ways wherein they have wandered, and also from the land beyond the Jordan, wherein they are persecuted by him that would take their life. O Lord, that thou may remember each and every one of thy dear children. They cannot miss thee, but this world that does so often draw their hearts. That thou may blow upon that garden, that the spices thereof may flow out once again. And wilt thou draw them that they might run after thee, and that thou may give them to enter into thy chambers, that they may receive there the tokens of thy everlasting love and of thy favor, that they may be given to bask a little bit in that blessed sunshine of thy eternal love. O Lord, that thou would speak unto their soul, that thou would say unto them, I am thy salvation, that a soul may be renewed with a blessed vigor once again, that their hearts may go out after thee with holy longings and pantings, that they may praise and glorify thy name here even amidst the congregation and amidst the community in which we may dwell, and that others also may hear and fear, and that they may desire to receive that blessed portion that belongeth unto thy people. O Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, to whom else can we go? Thou hast alone the words of eternal life. O, we beseech thee then for thy presence and for thy nearness, for thy favor and for thy blessing. Do look upon all of thy truly sent servants. Wilt thou give the unction of thy Holy Spirit? Remember those that do labor also in the area of our community here in this day. Wilt thou supply for them also, and all those that bring thy word over the length and breadth of the earth, do increase their number, as thou alone art able to do, to speak with power in the heart of those whom thou wilt raise up, that they may go forth to bring thy word of truth, that thy kingdom may come, that thy will may be done amongst Jew and Gentile, that thou may remember our nation in which we dwell, the evil that is permitted by thee to go to heights that have never been seen and experienced in this world, so that man is left over more and more to himself who has departed away from thee. Then we can read of a Pharaoh of old, that he did harden his heart, and then thou also didst harden his heart, that thou wouldst bring him to his utter destruction. For this cause thou didst raise him up. O Lord, that thou may remember us in thy mercy as nations who have once acknowledged thy name and thy law. O, do bring us back upon our knees, and wilt thou give us to acknowledge thee in a public way, and those that do rule and reign over us, that the fear of thy name may be planted within their hearts, and that it may become evident also in their lives and in their rulings. Wilt thou remember our school and all the circumstances that are connected thereto? Wilt thou supply in the great need that lieth upon us in these days? Lord, that we may be enabled to continue to bring up our children as we have promised before thee. Oh, then it is only in thy great goodness that thou hast provided this school for us, for our children, that thou hast maintained it even unto this day. Wilt thou continue it also in our midst? And that we may not have to see the day wherein we are persecuted as it was in the days of old, but that thou wouldst also turn us as a people back unto thee. Give us to see how that we have left thee days without number, and that we do not deserve that we would be kept or protected by thee, and that thy blessings would continue, and that we may come in that place of true repentance, and that we may desire that we also may be forgiven, and that we may be washed and cleansed of all of our iniquities. Wilt thou look upon all those that are sick, are afflicted, are old, have difficulties of body and of mind, those in the nursing home, those that are cared for by others? Wilt thou supply in old age, and wilt thou give that also the matter of the need of the soul may be bound upon the heart, when there is yet still a walking after the things which do not profit? O Lord, wilt thou come when the days are shortened, and when the time that is flying away, that thou would give an urgency concerning these matters in old age, in the hearts of children, for fathers and for mothers, for eternity, that is forever and forever and forever. And where the tree falleth, there it shall be. O Lord, remember our youth, our children, our parents. Give us urgency also, that we may seek the things that are above and not the things that are upon the earth. Do strengthen us for this hour. Lord, help us to bring a little portion of thy word in this hour. And may it be with clarity for the mind. And may it be with a desire for the need of souls. May it be with the unction of thy spirit. Do come to walk amongst the candlesticks also in this hour, and that thou would be in the midst of us as one that serveth. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163 all the stanzas. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, and my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. And what follows in stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 163, and the last collection today is for the Fort McLeod Building Fund. Thank you. congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and thereof the second part of the 20th verse, verse 20b. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So far the words of our text. We have been speaking about the institution of the Christian ministry. We heard of the Divine Commission. We heard in the second place of a comforting assurance. And now, in this morning, with the Lord's help, a blessed promise. Thus, a blessed promise concerning the Christian ministry. First, the parties involved in this promise. And second, the matter contained in this promise. A blessed promise concerning the Christian ministry. First, the parties involved, and second, the matter contained in this promise. A blessed promise. What is a promise? A promise we may define as an express assurance upon which an expectation is based. An express assurance upon which an expectation is based. That is, that has to do with the future. It is an assurance about the future. And it has a purpose, that is to bring about an expectation. Parents, you may give sometimes a gift to your children, and that may be done in different ways. It is possible that you give such a gift as a surprise, that in the morning your children are waking up, boys and girls, and maybe when you come to the table, then you receive a book, maybe from your father and mother, maybe about the Holy Bible, and you say, that was for me a very great surprise. I did not expect this. It is also possible that your parents, they do that very differently, that they, before that they give it to you, that they tell you that you are going to receive it sometime. Thus, they make a promise to you about this gift. That is a very different way of giving a gift. Why? Because then for some time, you are waiting and you are longing and you are looking forward to receiving this gift. And it is bringing in your heart an expectation that you may receive it. What is the purpose of such an expectation? Why would your father or your mother do it in such a way to make you to expect it, to long for it, to look for it? Well, it can be that a promise is a conditional promise. That is, that promise that also has a condition attached to it. Thus, the brothers of Joseph, they were promised by him that they would receive food and they would receive favor if they brought their brother Benjamin with them next time. Thus, a condition with that promise, that is a motive then That promise, that is a motive that they may fulfill this condition. But there are also other promises. They have no condition. They are just a promise all by itself. If we read about Boaz, and we read that Boaz has made a promise unto Ruth, and that he said to her, I will do all that thou requirest. And he did not say that Ruth had to do anything for this. There were no conditions attached to this. But he promised to do everything that she required. What then is the purpose of such a promise when there is no need for a motive to fulfill anything? Well, then, such a promise that is to the glory of the promiser. Why? Well, you imagine then Ruth, she is contemplating the kindness of Boaz. She is contemplating the faithfulness of Boaz. She is contemplating the riches of Boaz, the strength to be able to fulfill that promise. She is contemplating his willingness to give it to her. She is looking forward to the blessing, the promise itself. Thus, that expectation that is to the glory of the promiser. Children, when you will read the Bible, then you must look in the Bible, listen closely in the future, for all the times that the Lord says, I will. There are hundreds of times that you can read that in the Bible, that the Lord, he says, I will. I will do this. I will do that. I will give you this. I will give you that. Many, many times. Why does the Lord do that? The Lord does this for his own honor, for his own glory, that his goodness, his kindness, his faithfulness, his power, his strength, his willingness, that all may be contemplated and glorified by his people. And one of those instances that is found here in the words of our text. What does he say? He says, lo, I am with you always. He does not even say, I will be with you. He says, I am with you. Thus, he begins even at this present moment. They do not have to wait for the beginning of the fulfillment of this promise, but he says, I am with you. The parties involved in this promise, thus who is speaking? That is the Lord Jesus. And to whom is he speaking? He is speaking to his 11 disciples. He has given them a commission. We heard that. Go ye forth, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Thus, they have heard it in all their impossibility now. We heard something of that also. Christ has declared his own power. That was a great comfort to them. When he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That is indeed a very great matter. Because that is power, we heard, that is concerning his mediatorial work. But we ask, what profit is that power of Christ to his disciples? When the Lord Jesus, he is about now to leave them. He will be in heaven, and they will be in the earth. We read of the Lord Jesus when he went on that Mount of Transfiguration, that he took three of his disciples with him, And then he was away from the other disciples. And those other disciples, they're a difficulty. They feel the absence of Christ. Because there the enemy is, the Pharisees, the scribes, and there is that father, the great need of that lunatic boy. And the enemy, they are mocking with them. They are not able to cast out this evil spirit. And then it is that the presence of Christ that is so sorely missed. And now the Lord Jesus, he will ascend into heaven and he will send out the disciples in all the earth. And he declares that he himself has all that power that is in heaven and in earth. The disciples, they cannot do without that power. But just their need for that power does not give that power unto them. There are many benefits that are laid up in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can speak about them in an objective way. Those are all benefits that he has earned for his own church. But God's people, they need more than those objective truths, because then they need those benefits to be applied also unto them. It must become for them a benefit which they receive in themselves, for themselves, else it is no profit for them. And this is now what the Lord Jesus does for his disciples. Now he draws this blessing that he has spoken about from the heavens. He draws it even down onto the earth for the sake of his church. Thus he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Lo, he says. That is a beautiful expression, lo. Because it is a word that draws attention to the things that are following that word. It is a word that says, behold. It is a word that says, hearken. It says, take notice now what I am going to say to you, children, your teacher, your mother, your father. They do that too sometimes. Then they stop and they say, now, child, listen to me. Look at me. Hear me. Why? Because I'm going to say something now that is so very, very important. And I want you to be hearing, and I want to make sure that you have heard it. And the Lord Jesus, he says now the same thing. He says, lo. Why? Because he is going to give them a promise. And he wants to make sure that those disciples, they are listening to him, and that they have heard what he is going to say. Because that promise, that ought to work in them an expectation. That they are looking, that they are longing for the fulfillment of that promise, and that they are actually venturing themselves upon the word of Christ. Lo, I am with you. The parties involved. Who are they? They are I and you. I am the giver. You are the receiver. Is that not a wonder? That is the greatest wonder to the church of God. Now, when they may hear only an objective truth, but when they may hear, I and you, when they may hear their own name and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When those two names, they are spoken together, I and you. That is now the only way that the true church of the Lord is able to receive the benefits of the truth of the Word of God in the application of them. Did you ever hear your name in the Word of God? Say my name that is not in the Word of God. Some children, they are named Jacob or David. Their name, you say, boys and girls, then their name is in the Word of God. But my name is not in the Word of God. Is it not in the Word of God? Did you ever hear your life described in the Word of God? Was the case of your soul, was that ever laid out in the Word of God? Did you ever hear from line to line in the Holy Scriptures the need that is living and that is burning in your heart, that you said, that is me? That you have recognized your own self, your own name in that word? Say, what was that place that you have heard your own name? Did you ever hear your case described in the name sinner? Did that ever become for you your whole life? From the moment of your conception, even to this very moment, that you say from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they cannot be bound up. They cannot be mollified with ointment. Did you ever hear your name in that word, sinner? That name, that is a name that is found in many places in the Word of God. And it is also a name that is written with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you ever hear the name, your name, sinner? Did you ever hear it along with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? When you have heard it out of his word, that this man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them? Oh, this is the way, this is the manner that the Lord is by his Spirit applying his own word to make that word to be so personal unto us, first in the knowledge of our misery, in the knowledge of our wretchedness, and then in the knowledge of that truth and that certainty in the Word of God, for whom that this mediator has come and suffered and died in this world and risen again? Did you ever hear your name in the Word of God as lost? Lost? That you say lost, forever, forever lost? Woe is me, I am undone, without God, without hope in the world, that it becomes so impossible for you to be saved? Did you ever hear the name of that blessed mediator mentioned with your name in the Word of God? That it became such a wonder to you that your eyes went opened unto him when you have heard that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost? Oh, did you ever hear your name as one that is on the ends of the earth, one that is beyond the Jordan, one that is not able to return unto the Lord? Did you ever hear your name? And did you ever also hear his name? Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else. Oh, the parties involved Oh, then we also, in a personal way, must become the party involved in that promise of the Lord. We can hear that promise and we can hear that word of the Lord our whole life and never become the party involved. Why? Because we have never become sinner. Because we have never become lost. Because we have never become one at the ends of the earth. And then our name is not mentioned along with the name of that blessed mediator. Because it is not mentioned along with the name of the righteous. Except that he says, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. Lo, I am with you. The Lord Jesus, he is dealing in such a personal way with his own church. His people need that. His people look for this, and they are not able to do without this because that objective word that is simply not enough for the people. We say the parties involved. Who are the parties involved here? That is I and you. That is Christ and his disciples. That is true. But there is more than that. Why is there more? Because he says more. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How long, children, will the disciples live? They will not live to the end of the world, will they? Why is it necessary then? Would not the Lord Jesus say to them, I am with you unto the end of your life? Did not say that. He said, lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. That means that the Lord Jesus, he is speaking about more than his present disciples. But the Lord Jesus, he is looking unto all those disciples, all those servants, all those ministers of his that he is going to send forth even unto the end of the world. Thus you must remember that the Lord Jesus, he is standing here at this time instituting that Christian ministry. That is that new ministry that was ordained by him at this time that was to be unto all the nations of the world that was so new and that was declared unto him, instituted by him at this time, even unto the end of the world that is hastening to its end. When that world comes to its end, then those servants, those ministers, they will not be necessary anymore. When the last one is finally gathered in, then it will be not necessary to send forth one of those servants into that world anymore. But until that time, the Lord Jesus says that he is going to continue that ministry. He is going to walk amongst those seven candlesticks. Be those candlesticks, be those churches here or there over the whole earth. Sometimes here, sometimes there, sometimes planted, sometimes removed. Why? For the departure of the people. But as long as those candlesticks are there, then he says, I am with you. Thus, how necessary for those who are sent that this promise of the Lord that is going with them, not only the disciples, but also those who have come after those disciples. And why so necessary? Because of the lack that is on their own part. Because of the greatness of that work. Because of the impossibility, as we have heard last time. How many objections also are coming out of the heart of that people who are called by the Lord. As we heard that Moses, he says, I am not eloquent. And a Gideon who says that he is the least of his father's house. What do we read of Amos? He says, I was not a prophet, but I was a herdsman, and I was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord, he has taken me from the tending of the sheep, and he has said, go and prophesy unto my people Israel. Then you understand that there is such an impossibility in the life of such a man. And therefore, the necessity for this promise, we look also to the time that is coming now in a few weeks, where the curatorium hopes to meet, where if all is well, then one of the students may be sent forth into the churches, that he may be ordained as a minister, as a servant of that Most High God. Then how necessary also for him is this promise, that in all of his inability, in all of his weakness, that the Lord, he says, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And that the Lord may call also more men. Is it matter for us also that which we bend our knees for, because there sit our children? There they sit, our young people, and who is now going to carry on that word to bring it forth in the generations to come. If the Lord may spare us and our children, then we have a responsibility. Oh, that need may be bound upon our hearts, that truth may be experienced in the life of men, and that they may be called, and that they may be sent forth by the Spirit of the Lord himself to do this work, and that the promise of the Lord, that precious promise of the Lord, for that office that he has instituted, may go with them. And why? Why? Because of what that promise contains. The preciousness of this. But let us sing first 132, 1, 4, and 5. Within thy temple's sacred courts, with loving and adoring thought, we contemplate thy grace, O God, and all thy deeds with mercy fraught. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 132.
Thank you.
Luke, after the resurrection, writes that the disciple after the ascension of the Lord Jesus, he writes that they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. How is it possible that the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy after the Lord Jesus had left them? Would it not be cause for them to return with great sorrow? There is only one way they can return with joy, and that is by faith in this promise of Christ. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He does not say, my power shall be with you. He says, I am with you. His power, that is one of his attributes. But he says, I am with you in all of my attributes. What do God's servants need more than the very presence of Christ in their work? Moses said, if thy presence go not up with me, carry us not up hence. The Lord says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. To Joshua the Lord says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, and I will not forsake thee. But wherefore? Why is the Lord going with his servants? We read, he says to Paul, he says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Thus the promise here that is given to these disciples is not for the disciples in the first place. That is not in a personal way, although that is not precluded, it is not left out, but it has to do with the institution of his ministry. Thus, he says, I am with you in the administration of that word, in that teaching. I am with you in the administration of the sacraments. I am with you to give power. I am with you to give strength. I am with you to give life unto that word and to make that word effectual. I am with you. I am with you to guide you. I am with you to show you what to speak. I am with you to strengthen you. I am with you to assist you. I am with you to give you my counsel. I am with you to pull down the strongholds of Satan, the prince of darkness. I am with you to break the hard and stony hearts of men, to melt their hearts, to give to them life from the dead. I am with you to carry you through every difficulty, every trial, to bear you up through fire, through water. Lo, I am with you always. I am not far away. No, he says, I am with you. I am very near. I am in you. I am about you. I am cooperating. I am working along with your work in all your labors. I am not at a distance as if that I need to be called, as if I do not see your circumstances, as if I do not know your needs. No, but I am with, I am close, I am next, I am near. I am a very, very present help unto you. Lo, I am with you alway. What does that word mean? That word means individually. That word that means each and every one. I am with you each and every day, alway, each and every hour, each and every moment. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. On the sunny day, on the cloudy day, in the storm, in the wind, in the winter, in the summer, on the Sabbath, in the week, on the pulpit, in the house, on the street, in the prison. You sometimes say, my disciples, where is the Lord? We see not our signs. How long, O Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Verily thou art a God that hideth thyself. That is true. That is true. You may not always see me. It may be dark that you cannot behold me where that I am. But here is my promise. That does not mean that I am not with you. My workings, they are mysterious workings. They are workings that are not to be understood. They are not to be comprehended, even by my servants. But lo, I am with you, always, even unto the end of the world. And my presence under my word, under my ordinances, that does not have one moment's intermission. All way. Congregation, what profit? What profit is that word now to us? That is a promise of Christ. Do you make a promise sometimes to your children? And they look to your faithfulness, and they look to your ability, they look to your strength, they look to your kindness. This is a promise of Christ that is to his servants for the sake of the bringing in of his church. It is a promise that affects us. It is a promise that affects you. All of us with our children. Why? Because we may have the privilege to be under that Christian ministry. What does it mean? The Lord, we read, David says, loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. We are grateful that there is a constant attendance in the house of the Lord. May it never be otherwise, young people. When that word is going out, and when the offices, they are appearing in the house of God, the elders, the deacons, the ministers, when the offices are appearing, then the Lord, he says, I also am there. Thus, to willfully neglect that place where the Lord says that he is, that is to deprive ourselves willfully of his presence. Boys and girls, if the Lord, he would say, I am going to be at such and such a place, such and such a time, what would you say? Would you not want to go unto that place? That is what the Lord does. That is what the Lord, He says. He says, I am going to be at such and such a place, in such a time. I am going to be there. That is, when my word is preached, and when my sacraments, they are being administered. And the Lord indeed can work in a private way. He is free. But the promise belongs unto that public administration of His word. If He is present, or we should say it different, since He is present, since He is present in His house, ought there not to be such a great reverence in that house of God? Does it grieve us when we have a thought that is wandering over this world while there is the administration of word and sacrament, and while Christ Himself testifies that He is in the midst? We can have that, teachers, that those children, they are looking straight in our eyes, and then we ask them a question, and they have no idea what we have been speaking about. And their mind that has been far away. Oh, did not the Lord Jesus cast out in His anger the buyers and the sellers out of His house of prayer? Young people, sometimes we hear there is even persons who are texting in the house of the Lord, while the sermon is being read, while a sermon is being preached. Oh no. Oh no. Can you not do without the world for a little moment while Christ declares that He is walking in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks? The Lord Himself says that He is there. And now especially, for what reason? He does this. He did not have to say it to His disciples. He could have just done it in a surprising way in the midst of His church over the length and breadth of the world to the end of the world. But He did not do it this way. No, He did it by way of a promise. And why the promise? The promise is that there may be an expectation. An expectation that we would be looking for the fulfillment of this promise. Paul, he says that we ought to seek Him, that we might find Him, though He be not far from any one of us. You hear that? Though He be not far from any one of us. Thus, this presence that ought to strike an awe, that ought to strike a reverence, but not only so, but that promise that ought to encourage our hearts. What do we do when we come into the house? We should begin before we come. What do we do before we leave our home? And when we are ready to go into the house of the Lord under the ministry of His holy word, is there an expectation? Do we look for the presence of the Lord? Do we bow our knees? Say, Lord, I go now to the place that Thou hast promised that Thou wilt be? Do we expect then with a holy longing and a holy desire, When we come to sit in the house of the Lord, do we fold our hands and close our eyes, boys and girls? When the minister and the elders and the deacons, they come and they stand for a moment, do you also pray then? To say, Lord, Thou was promised, O Lord, that Thou also art there, where the preaching is, where the reading of Thy Word is. Do you read the chapter that is on the board? Do you come in time that you may have a few moments, that you may meditate on it, and that you may say, O Lord, here is a portion, here is a word. Could it be this day? Could it be today that Thou art not only present, but that it would be light in Thy house, that Thou would show me Thy presence, that I might feel something of Thy power? The Lord Jesus was on earth. There were many people. They were looking for Him. Where is He? Even blind Bartimaeus couldn't see Him, but he heard He was coming. And then there is an expectation, a longing. There was a need. Oh, my sight. If I could only receive my sight. Quiet. Do not speak. Do not cry anymore. And he cried ever the louder, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Amen. O Lord, give us to feel Thy presence, Thy nearness. It is Thy own promise. Give it to humble us. Give us to loathe ourselves in Thy presence, that we may truly repent of all our many sins, and that we may come to say, Lord, here is my wretchedness, here is my guilt, here is my filth, here is my pollution, here is my corruption. O wretched man that I am, O Lord, cleanse me. O Lord, forgive me. O Lord, reconcile me. And that I may know something of that fell power of Thee in heaven and in earth. Humble us under all Thy gifts, and that we may not take Thy blessings for granted, but that we may improve them in a day of grace, and that Thou would show to us that Thou dost live and sit on the right hand of God. Receive our thanks that Thou hast helped us in this morning hour to give sufficient strength. Bless Thy word. Be with us further in this day. Help Thy servant in this afternoon hour. Show Thyself, O Lord, that Thou art indeed in the midst of us. And when he may bring Thy word, oh, could it be that there may be sinners that are converted unto Thee for the first time, and Thy people instructed. Hear us, O Lord, for Thy great name's sake, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalm 368:1, 3, 4, and 5. Arise, O Lord, our God, arise, and enter now into Thy rest. O let this house be Thy abode, forever with Thy presence blessed. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 368. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.